Holy Roman Empire, the Age of Hildebrand. The end of the 11th century marked a change in the Holy Roman Empire. The early medieval empire was still part barbarian, but it was in many ways far more Christian than that of the High Middle Ages. Ancient barbaric empires of old were slowly changing due to the influence of Christianity. Despite the corruption of the papacy and the hierarchical status of the pope and the emperor, borrowed from ancient civilizations, the empire showed great promise. It had become as great as an empire in history, but the corruption of the church demanded reform. Ironically, the reform that Hildebrand brought also brought with it a new brand of corruption. Sexual debauchery and petty ambition of the popes was replaced with power such as even emperors never had. Great armies lay at their disposal. Doctrinal truth was shifted from the Bible and placed solely in the interpretation of the pope, the kings, and the emperors, who had to seek the pope's approval, and the authority of the pope was enforced with crusades and inquisitions. When Victor II died, the Hildebrandians were afraid of losing control of the papacy. Their extreme views upon enforcing clerical celibacy, as well as their strict controls, made many enemies within the church. A group of Hildebrandian supporters then elected one of their own without notifying the imperial agent Agnes as required. Their choice, Stephen IX, was supported by Godfrey, the Duke of Lorraine, and the Count of Tuscany, and when the imperial family was finally notified of the new pope, they cordially accepted the pontiff. The short rule of Stephen IX was relatively unimportant, except for two events. The first was the alliance created between the Hildebrandians and a radical reform movement known as the Paterians. These men, who soon ardent supporters of were supported by Hildebrand, favored drastic measures to enforce clerical celibacy and church discipline. The second was Stephen IX's plan to attack the Normans in southern Italy. He needed the assistance of Duke Godfrey and had considered negotiations to make Godfrey emperor in lieu of the child, Henry IV. Godfrey had even gone as far as the promise to conquer the Byzantine Empire and reunite what was once the Roman Empire. However, upon his journey to meet and negotiate this pact with Godfrey, Stephen fell violently ill. Realizing that he might die, he had the clergy promise not to elect a new pope until Hildebrand, who was on a mission to Germany, returned. This showed the enormous control of Hildebrand wielded over his followers, and the desire of the followers to keep the papacy in the hands of the reform movement. Nevertheless, upon Stephen's death, the enemies of Hildebrand had no desire to wait for his return. The nobles of Tusculum hoped to regain their control of the papacy, and in April 1058 they helped establish Pope Benedict X. Upon Benedict X's ascension, the Hildebrandian party fled Rome. Without these bishops, the consecration of Bennet was performed irregularly by an ally and not the lawful bishop. When Hildebrand's colleagues reached him, they turned to Duke Godfrey of Lorraine for support. Nicholas II was elected by them, but this now made two popes. So in January 1059, a synod was held in Sutri with the support of Agnes, the regent empress, and Benedict was excommunicated. Later that month, the synod was backed up by Godfrey's troops, who escorted Nicholas II to Rome. Benedict retreated to a castle in Galilee, where he was besieged. Within a few months, the castle's owners surrendered and Benedict was handed over to the soldiers. He formally renounced all claims to the throne, but when Hildebrand was promoted to archdeacon, he had Benedict imprisoned, formally charged, and deposed. Nicholas II was now pope, but only in name. It has been said that Nicholas was like a mule in Hildebrand's stable. He was fed everything. Hildebrand became the archdeacon and the chancellor of the church. So powerful was Hildebrand that his own ally and colleague, Peter Damiani, called Hildebrand the new holy Satan. One of Nicholas's first acts was to convene another synod at the Lateran. This synod again affirmed the rules and regulations forbidding simony and equating clerical marriage with concubinage. Two other significant rulings were also made. The first relegated the election of popes solely to the clergy. Lay people were no longer permitted to participate in elections, and the emperor was only given the right of ratification upon good behavior, thus negating his control. The papacy was no longer to be bound by the people or the emperor. Thus the church had granted itself sole authority to name the most powerful figure in medieval Europe. The fact that Henry IV was but a child doubtless allowed the synod to make such a drastic alteration, in violation of agreements cemented by previous popes themselves. The second ruling of the council was also spurred by Hildebrand. Berenguer, whose criticism of the doctrine of transubstantiation had been condemned by Leo IX, was now called before the synod to answer charges of heresy. He was apparently given a choice of death or renunciation. While he continued to hold fervently to his belief, he did not believe it was important enough to die for. He officially repented, signed a document drafted by the synod itself, but when he left, he again preached against the sacrifice of Mass. Later, Berenguer would stand trial a second and a third time for the same offense. The next major act of Nicholas' reign was to work a vital change in church policy and affect the political structures of the empire. At Hildebrand's urging, Nicholas reversed the position of the previous popes and forged a powerful alliance with the Normans. Rather than making the Normans their enemies, they would become vassals. The whole of Italy would fall into the empire for the first time, and the Normans pledged protection against Muslim invaders. In the years to come, the Normans would prove to be great allies indeed. They took Sicily back from Islamic hands and overshadowed Germanic rule. This naturally angered the young emperor, Henry IV. For a time, many German bishops even refused to acknowledge Nicholas. Meanwhile, Norman Robert Guiscard, also known as Wiscard, was named Duke of Apulia and Calabria. He, who had once imprisoned a pope, Leo IX, now solemnly swore fealty to Pope Nicholas. A final benefit of this alliance was the bond that instantly formed with Sir William, the Duke of Normandy, the future King of England. And that's who we'll be talking about next time. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Geary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.